what did we do last time?
Shopping.
Shopping and just chatting and rolling like three checks the entire session.
We recruited Cranton to come with us to the pyramid / temple.
Oh yeah, we all had visions. We all solicited gods for advice.
That's true. I forgot that was a thing. I'm glad you all remember, because
chapel.
My portion was all not at all written down, so I didn't keep track of what I really did.
I forgot we didn't just recruit Cranton. We also are going with the
Umaria.
Yeah, Umaria and Kralti and Muvarin.
Yes.
Awesome.
To the siblings. Temple of the Whisperer.
Wow, good job, all of you taking notes.
Which is on the west side of the Gold Cliff Mountains.
Good job. You did it on this pass-fail. You're going to move ahead. Okay.
How do you spell Apuk, by the way?
Oh, Apuk is A-H, and then a separate word of P-O-O-K. At least that's what I think we put in the AP. I can double check.
No worries. I had it written like that, but with a hyphen, so I've removed the hyphen.
Oh, no. Dreaded hyphens.
I don't think hyphens are allowed.
Oh.
We don't have a budget for hyphens.
Whatever we want.
I can confirm that the spelling that Luis just gave does, in fact, have an entry on Pathfinder Wiki.
Perfect. Cool. That's all we need to know.
Good job, that guy who wrote that. It was me. I wrote it.
Yeah, it says references Luis Loza.
And they're a bunch of undead there, probably.
Undead and or Sakils.
And Sakils, yeah.
Fun. Do you all have stuff that you feel you would need on a journey to such a place? You all stocked up on things and
we should probably just say, for the sake of saying it, that we have lots of provision.
Yeah, some extra rations are probably.
Yeah, but important. Does anyone want to get like holy water?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or silver sheen.
I definitely got weapons that I can use against undead, against incorporeal undead.
We kind of did all of our shopping before we knew what we were shopping for.
I know, it worked out really well. I also already have hot weather clothes, parentheses, fashion, from last time we went out in the desert.
Right, yeah.
Y'all seem to enjoy going out into the desert.
There's so much of it.
I guess enjoy is not necessarily a word. You guys all seem to go to the desert a lot. Cool.
Do we want to pick up some holy water? Just like run to the local supermarket real quick.
Can our new priestess friend like bless up some water for us?
I am not sure because I don't know clerics very well.
Okay.
I think there's probably a spell for that, right?
Probably, but it's also 3 gold a pop for a vial of holy water. So
I was just thinking if she could do it, then we could just, you know, hit the road and acquire our holy water later.
I'm just going to say, for the sake of posterity, I buy 2 holy water bottles.
Yeah.
And that is minus 6 gold. I'm still fairly secure financially.
Okay, I'm glad that 2 vials of holy water didn't break the bank for you.
Probably the best off Sarna has ever been in their life. Like, man, adventuring pays well.
Yes, that's why a lot of people do it.
Yeah, you do it for a few levels, then you retire. Only crazy PCs keep going.
Holy water. All right. It doesn't look like there's a spell that you use or anything to make holy water. So you would just craft it like you would any magic item. So she's an NPC. She can do whatever we need her to.
Love it.
Thin limit.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a cup of our holy water as well.
So you all have your mounts. And Umaria and Haralti and Mavarin, I should give them a last name so I can refer to them as a collective because they're siblings. Oh, well. they have a wagon and we'll say what would be cool to, oh, I have a thing just for this. It's like what animal would be pulling these things? I can refer back to this resource by Luis Loza according to the Pathfinder Wiki. There are cool mounts from down in Zapotl. They're called Tumbaros, I guess I decided years ago.
What are they?
Tumbaros are large feathered lizards able to outrun a horse with ease.
Amazing.
So they're just, they're dinosaurs. Big old, they're like dinosaur chocobos, I guess.
Nice.
And it's a big deal that they have two of them. I mean, one alone would be a big deal, but getting two is a pretty big deal. So they must have had some money or done it themselves, which is pretty impressive. Except you four don't know that because you're unaware of these things. You're just like, oh, they have like weird axe beaks things, weird terror lizard birds. So yeah, they have everything. So they were doing their sermon in town. And I don't remember if we skipped over that or not, if we have already had that happen. Either way, this is now after this sermon has happened. So you are heading out from Altamira toward the northwest, toward the supposed Temple of the Whisperer. You have, I guess, two different ways you can do this. You can go through the mountains or you can go through the glass desert. It's up to you two, or not you folks.
I mean, we know the glass desert. We've been through it once already. Which means true. I vote we go through the mountains because I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, I think yeah, I'm down for new terrain.
You did reach the edge of the mountains once when you reached that Skymark mine, which is just like at the very southern edge of the mountains. But I guess but
we
it's
went
not
under
the
mountains in that case. Through, sort of through the mountains. Them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
All okay. of our mounts are going to be okay with the mountains, right? Do we have any that are not really going to be able to traverse them?
You can get through the mountains by, there's a lot of like valleys and lowlands and stuff within the mountains themselves. So they're not like so tightly packed that like you have to scale a mountain. So you should be able to go through them. So there's lots of canyons okay. and stuff that you can use to make quick your question. Way through. Yes.
Quick question for the other players. I have in my equipment a fear gem that I've never used because what it does is lets you use intimidating strike, which is something I already have. Mm-hmm. Does anybody want it? It's a talisman. It lets you make a melee strike that if you hit and deal damage, the target is frightened. Is that something that anybody feels like they might use?
Doesn't it also give you an extra effect if you already have intimidating strike?
Oh, does it? Did I didn't read far enough. Okay, it does. You're super right.
you can still give it away. It's just, it's not useless to Sarna.
That's true.
That's true. Honestly, it's better for Sarna. I definitely wouldn't use it.
Okay, I'm going to affix it then before we leave. Because if I don't affix it, then I can never use it.
Correct. You clip it onto, it's like a little phone charm that you clip onto to your
amazing it's got glitter when you,
when I'm not seeing all it. Talisman as being fuzzy dice that you just throw over the hilt of the weapon
or nice smelling pine trees.
Amazing. I assume somebody in town has a repair kit I can use to do that.
Yes, there's a smith and you can also go to Ilemisa to do it.
Awesome.
We'll say you swing by Ayla misses on the way out. She kind of gives you like a very like, really? Kind of look. You hand her the talisman. She basically gets the equivalent of like a piece of string and like ties it to your, your handle. It's just like, great. I won't charge you for this one, Sarna.
Appreciate it.
Hey there, Luis here. It's me, your GM for Valiant. I've been fiddling around with the format for Valiant just a bit here and there over the past few episodes, which you may or may not have noticed. For example, this episode is only about half an hour long, rather than the typical 45 minutes to an hour of previous episodes. The previous episode of Valiant was missing this mid-episode interlude entirely. Figured that Valiant doesn't have to be completely locked into its format 100% of the time and might even benefit from adapting it here and there as necessary. If you feel particularly strongly about the length of episodes, the use of recaps at the beginning, this mid-episode interlude, or some of the other aspects of the show, let me know. If I get enough feedback on certain aspects, I'm always open to considering changing them. One other thing that's different with this episode is the lack of a script for the rest of this interlude. Normally type up the entirety of what I say for the interlude so I can gather my thoughts for the recording, but this time around I wanted to see how things would work if I got rid of the guardrails and just went for it without a script. Maybe it will sound more natural, maybe it will be a disaster, who knows. Once I'm done with this sentence, I have no more script, and it's all freeform, baby. So, since we're talking about freeform stuff, let's talk a bit more about improv. Last couple of interludes I discussed improv here and there, and this time around, there's some more improv going on with the episode. As you'll hear just a bit later, I mentioned that the players heading towards the mountain through the ravine is not what I expected. I kind of expected them to go through the glass desert because they'd been there before, and obviously that threw off my plans just a tiny bit. Rather than really get too worried about it, though, I figured I have ways to hold them up and buy myself some time. And I think really that's a very useful thing when it comes to GMing, and particularly when it comes to improving. So when your group decides to go off the rails and you don't feel that you're ready to necessarily come up with everything on the fly or just need a bit of time to get your ducks in a row, I think there are different ways that you can hold your players up and buy yourself that time. I mentioned earlier that you can just ask for a break. And that's great. That still works fine. And if that's what you want to do, go for it. But if you're the kind of person that doesn't want to hold up the game and just want to keep that flow going, I think there's a few other things you can do. One of the first things that comes to mind is just throw in a combat. If they're on their way to some location that you weren't really ready for just yet, but feel like you can have ready with a bit more time, add a random encounter. You know, throw in an owlbear, throw in a group of bandits, something like that, to fill up the time, and ideally it's something that you can run without too much work. Something like simple bandits or an owlbear or a simple single creature is probably better than trying to find some complicated creature of their level, just because it gives you the time to work things through in your head and plan things accordingly, so once they're on the other side of the combat, then you're ready to go. I think another thing you could do is just use some kind of mechanic to hold them up, stall them for just a little bit. So in the case where they decide to head to a new location, you might require them to make survival checks to get through the wilderness, or society checks, or something related to that to, you know, get around, or maybe diplomacy checks to ask information to find where they're going, something like that. Anything that can buy you a minute or two of time, which might be all that you need. Or it could end up leading to interesting results. If they critically fail their survival check while they're navigating through the woods, suddenly you now have a good reason to get them lost and hold things up just a bit more, but also have kind of an interesting wrinkle happen along the way. Another thing you can do is encourage role-playing. I have a bit coming up where I mentioned that everyone has a chance to kind of role-play, ask questions, do whatever they want. if they're so interested, and kind of encouraging that and fostering that probably can help buy you some time. Maybe you can have an NPC ask one of the players a question, which can then lead to a role-playing scenario, or you can ask a player directly something about their character or how their character reacts to a current situation. You know, how would your character feel about having to travel through these icky woods that you're navigating to get to the castle on the other side? And that can also buy some time, and in the process possibly bring in other players to encourage that role playing and keep that going for just a bit. So I think if you keep these in mind to keep the game flowing and feel like it hasn't stopped, I think it can buy you quite a bit of time depending on how things result. Obviously combat is going to buy you the most time, but if you don't want to hold things up that much, maybe a simple trap, grab something out of the game mastery guide or the core rulebook, or something like just a strange vignette, you know, come up with an NPC from an existing rulebook or something and describe something that happens along the way and ask for reactions, even if it's not meant to have any kind of mechanical or real story effect. You know, if they hear the sounds of the screeching monster in the woods, you know, how do they react? They might just decide, okay, it's a monster, let's keep going. Or they might decide to investigate, and suddenly you've bought yourself more time by having another plot hook, or just at least a fun little encounter seed that you've created out of thin air. But again, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, ask for a break. Use other ways to buy yourself some time and go with that. Who knows? It might be more fun to kind of fly by the seat of your pants and come up with stuff and keep laying that track in front of you until you get to that point where you're feeling comfortable again. But it's up to you. Do what feels best for you. Anyway, I've mentioned a few things that come up later in the episode, and I don't want to, they're not really spoilers, I guess, but I don't want to keep talking about the future and talk about future events that you don't know anything about yet. So let's head back to the game and see what's going on. Let's hear that guitar. All right. So, well, if you're heading towards the Gold Cliff Mountains, then I think the easiest thing to do is maybe head through the Thornbrush Ravine, a place you've been before. And oh, so long ago when I put the map together for the Thornbrush Ravine, I expected there to be a second fight in there. So I'm telling you that now because that's not going to happen. I set it up a scorpion for you to fight, and then eventually reuse that later in the Glass Desert. So yeah. It's no need for me to just do that again. You make it through the Thornbrush Ravine just fine. This time there aren't any bandits trying to steal shipments of minerals or resources or anything. So it becomes
a... Honestly, if we'd been attacked again, I think we would have just given up going through this ravine.
Before we get started and go, I cast Show the Way, which is a spell with an 8-hour duration that gives myself and my allies prenatural knowledge of the path ahead.
Okay.
And it makes difficult terrain less severe, but I think it's also just an appropriate spell to cast at this time.
Yeah, makes sense. I think I mentioned it would take several days to make it.
Oh, yeah.
Over there. Going through the mountains will slow you down a little bit more, but you are also not stuck in the middle of the desert when you're going through the mountains, so kind of evens out in some way. You cast a spell, and in my mind, what happens is just in everyone's vision, a little mini map pops up in the bottom right corner of everyone's vision. No matter where you look, you can always kind of see the path to follow. Very good for finding paths. So you did it, Jess. You beat this game. But we're going to continue on playing some more Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Along the way, as you're traveling, you get to speaking with Umaria and Hralti and Muvarin. And I haven't learned their last names yet, so I guess I won't bring that up. But as you're chatting with them, Umaria specifically starts talking with Sarna, and Zidane and asks, how is it that you came to learn about Pátzcuaro? It feels like, not that, you know, a god can't have influence everywhere, but just seems that, you know, the people around here haven't listened to her words much.
Both of us are waiting for the other to go first.
my mom's a Coatl.
That do it. My parents are, you know, they've had some rough times, but my mother was raised following Pátzcuaro. Her parents came from pretty far away. They're not local to this area. They came here on a trade route, similar to how you did. So, but then they stayed.
This is just me asking now. Hey, Sarna's half orc, right? Is mom orc or is dad orc?
I think that both of Sarna's parents are half orcs.
Ah, that'll do it. Mm-hmm. That also works. Interesting. Now we know.
I feel like that doesn't happen enough in like games and stuff, and so it always makes me happy when I see it. So why not put that out there?
Well, at least if you look at player characters, half-orcs are actually more common than orcs, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm glad that we were brought together by Pátzcuaro, and it, you know, you are like water in the desert for us, just having someone else to share the faith out here.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, also, if we need water, we should have the magic ready, maybe.
Are you thirsty, Ev?
Not at the moment, but I'm just saying, if we're gonna go through a tough area, we might want to. And in that temple, water, positive energy, sounds like we're gonna have to be ready for some undead. It'd be good to have you with us.
You can be ready for something, or you can try and just be ready for everything, and then whatever comes along, you're ready for, because you did a sort of broad, unflappable, ready for anything kind of attitude, which is my philosophy.
That's a good point. A little bit of everything.
Well, your mini-map route points you in the direction of the Skymark Mine. You guys can pay a visit to the Skymark Mine if you're so inclined. I don't know. You just happen to be walking past there. It's up to you. Otherwise, you would continue further into the Gold Cliff Mountains.
I mean, actually, there is a reason we might want to check on the mine. If we're really close, we might as well just swing by and ask everyone if anything weird or unusual or, you know, demigodish has happened since we left. But in a casual way. Just wait for demigods to come up and then take that up.
And it'd be good to know that things were stable and they weren't getting harassed anymore from anybody in New Haywood.
Yeah, they probably remember us, so might not be super weird if we go by and say, hi, we're passing through the area and wanted to see how you're all doing after that nonsense.
Hey, we saved your life, how are things? You know, casual.
All right. It sure isn't going how I expected, and that's fine, because that's that's showbiz, baby.
You brought it up.
The whole first, like, that, just the route that you chose in the first place is really the thing. Yeah, it's fine. Great. I love it.
We should circle around to the north and then head south. That'll really throw them off.
We'll go up through New Haywood.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I am not ready to go to New Haywood.
Don't have any NPCs prepped.
That is not a... Ooh.
Well, I think I can safely say that if we head to New Haywood, the trip is going to take at least this entire session.
All right. So you make your way to the mine. It takes about half a day to get toward the Skymark mine in the first place. So when you arrive, as you approach the entrance, if you remember, oh, I probably still have the map here. Look at that. I can just point you to the map of how things look, except this time it's daytime rather than nighttime.
Yep, I remember that.
It's got a big old gate and stuff when you approach. And the gate is closed, probably, you know, due to security concerns when you arrive. And there is like a bell that you can ring, just like a string that you can pull to call up that bell. And I'm going to guess you do that. And once you do so, it takes a moment, but you hear a loud, it's like loud machinery start whirring. And after a moment, the gate starts opening up and it opens up to reveal this big old machine thing that as soon as the gates open, just looks at you and says, Langley.
Hi, Langley. Did you miss us?
It does not respond.
Well, they're fixing it up anyway, which is good.
We were coming to check on the status of the mine. Is there anyone status related we could talk to, overseer or manager or foreman?
Langley,
someone with a more than one word vocabulary.
Langley can't speak, but he seems to understand. And you see him stomp over and ring a second bell on his side of the gate. And after a moment, a woman comes out and she says, Langley, I told you, stop bringing that. Oh, he's actually doing his job this time. Hi. Hello. What can I do you for?
We just passing through. We wanted to know, mine doing okay? We was here month ago when there was the problem, all the...
We're the ones that saved everybody.
We're the mighty liberators of the mine, and so rather than just assuming a heroic deed has made everything go smoothly and everyone's all right, we're actually swinging back through to check on people.
Yeah, we're very responsible and like to do follow-ups.
And it really helps when we say that.
You'd be surprised how often a heroic deed needs a little follow-up.
Well, I appreciate it. I think I heard about this whole thing. There was some kind of takeover, is that right?
Uh-huh.
There were hooligans.
Yeah, I was hired on after the fact, but yeah, I heard about it. That was you?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was us.
Well, we were the anti-hooligans.
Yeah.
Y'all are kind of legends around here. Everyone talks about that day that crew came in and saved everybody, and they talk about how they use their magic to blow up, you know, 15 bandits at once and destroy the machine. And I don't know if that's all true, but I mean, the fact you're here, I guess there must have been true then. Come in, I guess, if you're interested. I think mine's doing all right. Langley here has been doing a great job defending us from the birds and the rabbits that come by and anything that doesn't ring that bell, I guess.
Well, we know he's capable. We did have to fight with him just a little bit to get some of the people out safely, but we're glad he's all fixed up and working for you.
Clearly he has no hard feelings.
I'm guessing no feelings at all, in fact.
Yeah.
I don't know. This big guy, he's got heart, I can tell. He's a softy. As knocks on his chest, as hard as he is, he's a real softy, I think, because he shoots all the birds and shoots all the all the rabbits that come by, but he sure does like leaving the lizards alone and the desert deer alone. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Have there been any sightings from the Haywood Excavations Company? I mean, they're the ones that seem to have really been sending the problem before, but hopefully we routed all that.
Nah, things have been pretty quiet around here.
Good.
A week or two where we were afraid of, you know, maybe another attack is going to happen or whatnot, but not long after, that's when they brought Langley around.
Ah, good.
Taught us how to use them and defend everything, and he's been mighty helpful, especially with the digging. Makes the stuff a lot easier when you have a big old guy like him that can drill into anything that you find, I guess.
A good sentry. He's
doing more than just shooting birds. I was kind of wondering why you had such a fancy mining robot at the door shooting small animals, but...
Well, if he doesn't shoot small animals, who will?
Good question. Is there, is there anything else we want to check out in here, or should we keep moving?
If they say they're doing all right, they're probably doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds like those wild stories of all that magic is keeping away problems anyway. So.
Yeah, we blew up 15 hooligans at once.
Apparently. Oh, I think it was 30. Crazy big magical powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know how stories tend to get amplified and elevated and tall taleified.
Right. It's those minstrels and bards spreading all those stories.
No, I don't think that's exactly the way that we see. The thing is that minstrels and bards know how to take the story and craft it in a way that people will remember the important details. It's amateurs spreading tales that causes things to blow out of proportion. I am a licensed musician at law. I would never elevate something beyond the acceptable percentage of upgrade.
Well, that's good.
Glad to hear it.
Ma'am, I guess we should leave you to your work, and maybe we'll stop on by when we come back.
I mean, if you plan to stop on by, I'll make sure that the crew gets a break so they can all come say thank you. But I mean, this was so unexpected. Next time we can plan a bit better. And thank you for all you did for us.
Give the crew our regards.
As you head out, Langley goes to close the gate behind you, and you see Langley just put up an arm and kind of wave as.
I'm gonna cry.
as it closes the
bye,
gate.
Langley.
Except, you know, his arm is like a big old buzzsaw. So.
Is that really a goodbye or a don't come back?
I was about to say, I'm not sure that's as friendly as you all are taking it as being. Normally, when people wave giant bladed weapons at me as I leave, I assume that there is a less than welcoming attitude behind it.
He's doing his best.
Did any of you catch the little side story of what happened with Langley? Do you know about that I did a little spin-off adventure?
No.
Oh.
So a bunch of the No Direction crew wanted to
Out
the
Guns
and Gears classes. So I ran a thing where they went and got Langley fixed up.
Nice.
So you can listen to that and listen to catch up on Valiant yourself. yeah, there you go. Cool, fun little thing. It's all come together, full circle. I bet, Ryan, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're excited to know that you helped have this little moment happen.
This has been a No Direction Network production. Valiant is an original homebrew campaign and is possible with the support of listeners like you. If you would like to support Valiant and the rest of the No Direction Network, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/nodirection. Join us next time for the next episode of Valiant.